Hi guys, welcome to Wake Up with Wesley. I'm your host Wesley, and today I am sitting here with Maykel Reese. Maykel, hi honey bunny lover. Hi.
Hello, Miss Wesley.
Hi.
It is a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And
to
it's
have
more
you.
Than that. We're both so excited about mm-hmm. this.
We're excited. About
We're excited. This has been a long time coming.
Maykel, before we even get into what you do, I think there's a little interesting tidbit to us meeting. So Abby, who we all know and love, she's the assistant producer, manager. She's the everything behind the scenes here at Wake Up with Wesley. Yeah. When we first started, she was like, hey, there's this girl. You need to know her, Maykel. And I was like, yeah, okay, we'll get her on the docket. Da, 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 da. Don't. And then life happens. We didn't even revisit.
Totally.
And then I walk into a mutual friend of ours, Jenna. It's her little birthday party. It's a nighttime gathering. Maykel, it actually took you 2.5 hours to get there because it was a blizzard.
It did.
Uh-huh. And this woman walks into the door. And I immediately am like, oh, you're my mother, lover, sister, best friend. I love you. Instantly trust you.
Oh, we locked eyes.
What was there that?
There was a moment where I was like, where have you been? I love you already. I had a hard time not staring at you. You know, I was like, just be cool. Like, let's not scare our new friend. Wes,
tried to be
you
cool. Know?
I tried. It didn't work. It didn't work out. Thank goodness.
No, both of us
don't
were not
try
cool.
to be cool. Mm-mm. No, cringe is out. Earnestness is in.
So there was this thing with you, and both you and I are little Scorpio moons, and I think trust, I can mentally trust someone before my body trusts someone.
Yes.
And it's just an honoring of my body that I've now accepted. Like, I honor my body's timing. And I know that for me, it takes a minute for me to be my full self around people. So it's just something that I've really come to respect about myself. There's no judgment about myself in this. So when you walked in the door and I immediately trusted you and my body felt the safety that I yearn around women, that says something about you. And I don't know what it says about you. And I think that's why I wanted you on the show. Like, who are you in your life? What do you do in your life to get to this point that a person like me, who's very intuitive and very guarded at the same time.
And very tuned in.
And very tuned in. Lets down the walls. And so this is why I'm so excited to have you on the show, because this is kind of your whole gig. You are an emotional sovereignty coach.
Well, actually, let's talk about the imposter syndrome that I have recently gotten through.
Let's talk about it.
And that at the other, excuse me, on the other side of that, what I am is a soul and spiritual life healer. Mm-hmm. And healer's been a really hard word for me.
It's hard for a lot of people.
Right? Because I don't actually heal you. I'm a guide. Uh-huh. I walk you up to the edge of the forest and say, we're going to find our way through this, but you will find your way through. And to talk about what you felt is the sameness of being, that I am fully grounded in myself, that the things that I've walked through and been through have been transmuted into deep love for myself. Mm-hmm. And that isn't just the nice things. I look at all the shadow and the light, look deeply at myself and say, this is me.
Yeah.
And I accept all of it, which allows me to accept anybody else.
I feel like the word that comes to mind is embodiment with you, because it is my professional job. This is my career, to talk to people who really know their shit. And I talk to a lot of people who really fundamentally know their stuff.
Yes.
And I respect them, and I know that they know their stuff. And it's a different experience when someone embodies what they know, when they emote what they know, when you don't have to say a word to me and I feel the knowingness that you know. And this is the next leg of my journey for me, is embodiment, taking the things that I've cerebrally learned and putting them into my body and expressing it as a living, walking, breathing daily practice. My life is my art. My life is my creation. And I think I could feel that you have gotten yourself there too. And I know the amount of work that requires. So I respect a woman walks through that type of work, because I know it's actually a helly, fiery, wood, scary thing.
Oh, it's,
but you did it.
It's terrifying. And thank you for seeing the amount of work. Mm-hmm. It's hard to accept that if you ask me, am I a successful person? Have I reached that? I have. Mm-hmm. But that's not, the way that I have isn't necessarily socially accepted yet. For example, I am at peace with myself. when I am with myself, the contentment, the joy that's there, it's all within me. What else is there, right? Than to really fully be with yourself and be still.
Yeah. In love and acceptance.
Yes.
And truth. It's truth.
And truth.
It's truth.
Right?
So what does, I guess, for a lot of people, they don't even know what that sovereignty
yes.
is. Can you explain what that word means to you?
Let's talk about sovereignty.
Let's talk about it.
It's my favorite word.
Yeah.
I use it all the time. And just FYI, sometimes I have a hard time spelling it. You know? I'm like, I say this word the most and I'm like, anyway,
there's a G somewhere in there.
There's a G in there. And like, what does it mean?
What does it mean?
Right? It is the duality of being connected to the self so you can be connected to others. Mm-hmm. And so what it looks like is when we talk about sovereignty, when we talk about, you know, being the source of your own power, which is essentially what sovereignty is. People can mistake that as, oh, I don't need anybody. And I only listen to me. There's nothing flip about this. All of this is grounded in, I'm the last stop. I know my integrity. I know my values. I know where I got them. I know why I follow them. And I check in with them often. Mm-hmm. So that looks like, where did I get my value system, right? My family of origin, my religion, my culture, my country. And then I say, do I actually accept these mm-hmm. consciously? Mm-hmm. And do they work for me? And then you get to check in with those. So that's what it looks like to be sovereign.
So it starts with, I need clarity here. Like
please.
This is, because I think I've done this, but I'm refining it
yes,
each and every
always.
Month. So it's an internal check-in mm-hmm. with the world around us,
yes.
the messaging that is being shared with us, on us, to us, kind of forced upon us, mm-hmm. and constantly checking in with what resonates with me and what do I reject? And you can reject things in love.
Exactly.
So that's
it's really just, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. Is this for you? Wonderful. It's not for me. Uh-huh. And that, you know, the term cafeteria Catholic or cafeteria Mormon,
yeah.
that's actually how we're supposed to live life. You get to look at the wealth of truth and knowledge that's out there and say, this piece is for me, this piece is not. This piece works for me, this piece does not. And there's no judgment involved. Just like you said, the rejection is this like very just like, thank you, no thank you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if that works for you, Wes, that makes me so happy. That particular piece doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And knowing that everything you need is already inside of you.
So in my mind, I feel like getting to this place of self-sovereignty, which is freedom. Mm-hmm. It's freedom to believe the things that you believe and honor the beliefs in which you hold.
Yes.
To me, it requires like this confidence of self.
Yes. And how do you get that?
And how do you get, is this what you do with people?
This is what I do with people.
Okay, let's talk
and
about
so
it.
And so what I do is that I remove all the blocks keeping you from living your most successful and joy-filled life. And so what we have to go through those blocks because they're different for everybody,
uh-huh.
right? But to sum it up, it is learning how to be emotionally sovereign, right? Or in command of your emotions. So it looks like this. You have the stimulus, right? Or more popularly called the trigger.
Oh.
And these triggers are our gifts. Okay. So the trigger happens, a thought is formed, an emotion is then brought up. And then you have the space between the emotion and the action. If it happens fast, it's a reaction.
Okay.
If it's slow, it's a response. And that's from your highest self. And so if you look out into the world right now, mm-hmm. we are witnessing nothing but reaction. There is no time being processed. There is no thoughtfulness, and everything is in survival. Mm-hmm. And we need that. Survival is an important tool to have, but on a daily basis, we don't need to be in it. And so that space between reaction and response, that's your freedom.
Say that again. Okay, that just blew my mind. The space between the reaction yes. and the response
is your freedom.
Okay.
And to be very, very candid, that's a Viktor Frankl quote, but it's true, uh-huh.
yeah.
right?
Yes.
And that's what you feel. I no longer have that lack of control from being triggered most of the time. I'm human, so it still happens. But it's the coolest thing in the world because it's almost as if things go into slow motion and it's like, you can see all the things at play here. Oh, I got my feelings hurt a little bit. You're even able to be like, oh, of course you did. That's okay. You're a human. Mm-hmm. And then what emotion was it? Well, it was pain. Okay. Did they mean it? Where can I be in control of it? And then you could, and all of this is happening so quickly. It's like a split second once you get really good at it. And then it's just like, oh, now I can say the words that I actually mean to the person that aren't putting up this, like, how dare you? And or, I mean, obviously it's more like an F you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And the things that get us into trouble. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then all of a sudden you are in command of how you walk in this world. And it's the coolest thing on the planet. Like, it's the gift of my life that I gave myself because I earned it. The discipline it took to get this was a lot.
You did it for yourself.
I did it for myself. And I'm still doing it. That's the kicker. It's an everyday practice. Mm-hmm. And here's the fun part. Once you kind of get it locked in, you know, the universe is like, well, let's throw you some more things.
Yeah.
Let's see how well you have practiced and learned this.
Oh, I can attest to that.
Yeah.
That is the truth. Like once you get over a personal hurdle, mm-hmm. like an emotional, like a trigger. Yeah, a trigger.
Yeah.
Once you get over that and you're like, oh, I've got that in the bag.
Right.
Watch life.
Oh, just life! Watch.
The next day is going to deliver it to you on a silver platter in the most reactive way.
Do you think you got this? Uh-huh. Let's find out. And the beautiful thing is, if you're paying attention, you can go, oh my gosh, I've leveled up. Mm-hmm. I get an opportunity, and then it becomes play, because that's what's really missing from life too. It's like, why are all these things happening to me? Instead of, I'm actually asking for this, mm-hmm. because our physiology suggests that we are here to feel and experience the millions of nerve endings that we have. We weren't, whatever your spiritual beliefs are, we didn't come here to have an easy time and not experience it. Feeling is the thing. Energy that's out there, or spirits or souls or whatever resonates with you, they can't feel anything. Mm-hmm. We came here to have an experience. And so it isn't about not feeling. It's about having command over the feeling and knowing that everything actually just is. It's just our reaction to it.
Yep.
And how can we process the grief? How can we feel the pain fully so that we can feel the joy and the love fully?
I feel, yes, 100% yes. I feel like the biggest lie we've ever been told as a society or in our families, or just like these internal beliefs that we're not even consciously aware that we hold, is that if you're not happy, you're not doing it right.
Yes.
And it's so ass backwards when you actually do this work, because you realize if you're not happy, you're probably doing it right.
This has been the most hilarious part of marketing. It's like, hey, would you like to feel worse before you feel better?
Yeah.
Would you like to do this forever?
Yeah.
You know, but then you do feel worse because you're actually allowing yourself to feel. And I can't remember what we've talked about or what we haven't, but this Christmas, I found myself feeling full despair.
Yeah.
Potent, like arresting despair. And in the moment that I felt it fully, there was only a split second where I was like, I can't. And then it was like, I'm actually feeling it fully. Mm-hmm. And the joy that came in, because if you can feel it fully, that means it's going to flow out, making space for whatever's next to flow in. Mm-hmm. But my body needed to feel that.
So I really believe this. I believe that the emotions we resist, they persist. That's like a common saying.
Of course they do.
But like until you've experienced in your body consciously, because a lot of people do this unconsciously, mm-hmm. and that's what keeps people in a loop. That's what keeps people stuck. But the minute that you are consciously aware of this, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm hearing is you actually guide people through this process.
That's correct.
You teach them how to feel their feelings in real time.
Yes.
Identify the triggers, mm-hmm. and how they, what their true response, their highest self response. You help them figure that out. You coach them through that.
Yes.
You guide them to their own healing. Mm-hmm. And then as they walk through these next phases of life, what do they get to do? Just call you and be like, Miguel, guess what happened? I did it.
There is nothing better in this line of work than when people do that.
Really?
And it happens often. And it the joy that I experience when they're like, I was able to do X. Mm-hmm. I finally let somebody love me. And sometimes that's not even romantic. Sometimes it's just letting another human being see you as another human being.
Yeah.
And that they're like, the coolest part is that nothing really changes externally first, but you're experiencing everything differently to where people will call me and be like, has this always been here? How am I walking through life this way? Not angry, not depressed, not filled with anxiety. That's what happens. But they learn something so valuable, which is you're still going to feel. And so I share that I felt despair because I still feel it, but it's clean pain. It comes in, it acts as that like fire that transmutes,
yeah,
alchemizes. And then the joy that followed, Wes.
Really?
Yes.
That gives me hope because even, I mean, it's hard, Mikkel. It's hard.
Oh, it's the hardest.
And I sometimes I'm like, there are moments that it's not a true thought, but it is a thought. You know, the voices mm-hmm. in our head. They're loud and some of them are bitchy and some yeah. of them are bullies. Like there's speaking? Those voices. And ask who them. Are they?
Who's speaking?
But I have a voice in my head that comes up, not often, but it's come up especially now during this year where mm-hmm. things are really, I do feel like I'm being put to the test. And I don't believe in a God that tests you. So it's funny that I'm feeling this way.
Isn't that interesting? It's not a test. It's Wes.
It's growth.
You asked for this.
I did.
Do you want it?
I did.
Because you asked for all of these things. And it's the beautiful thing is the universe will give it to you. And if you're not ready for it in that moment, it'll come back again. So it's not really a test so much as like, it's like a, you know, those like sushi rotating buffets. It's yeah. like, would you like it now? No. Okay.
It'll come back around. Oh my God. I believe in that.
You know? And so like, the way that we talk about it is really important. Is it a test or is it an offering?
I love that. Because the mean voice, the bully in my head says that it's a test.
Yeah.
And it says, why did you start this? You could have been blissfully ignorant. You could have been scrolling Instagram and watching reality TV. I loved that life of mine. I did nothing. I numbed out.
It was seemingly easier, wasn't it?
Oh my God.
Why did you leave it then?
There was something in me that was yearning for more, mm-hmm. more truth, more connection, more honesty, more mm-hmm. reality. And it's heavy. It's heavy, but it's like working out where my muscles are growing each year
exactly
that I've been done
like
this.
That.
Like I can hold more.
Yes.
I can do more. My yep. connections are deeper. It allowed me to meet you that night and say, oh, come on, mama bear hug. Let's collect each other for life. And it feels like a treasure for me. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have been able to do that 7 years ago.
I would have missed
an opportunity with you.
My life,
you know what I mean?
Is unrecognizable.
I want to know about who you were before. Like how did this... Who were you before and how did this start?
Goodness. How do we be concise about this? it started with the birth of my daughter.
Okay.
If we're talking about the trajectory from 7 years ago.
Okay.
When I got the ultrasound, when I was pregnant with her, they told me it was a girl and I have two boys. And I jumped off the table and I started jumping up and down and they were like, what are you doing, ma'am? And I was like, there are balls in here somewhere.
Stop
and
it.
I had no idea why I was so hell-bent on having another boy. But I knew there was this rumbling of terror. Like, why am I so terrified to have a girl? And so I didn't buy anything. And people are like, what are you having? I'm like, we don't know yet. And everybody was like, yes, we do. You know? And I was just trying to block it. I knew. Right. And so like the moment that she came out, I asked, I was like, is it a girl? And like the whole room just started laughing because it's been this running to like, yeah, she's a girl. And what I come to find out is I didn't want to have a daughter because I didn't want to have to love myself.
Oh my God.
Because I am a daughter and daughters know how their mothers feel about themselves, whether they say it or not. I could fake it all day.
That resonates with me so deeply.
Right?
I feel that to my core. A daughter knows.
A daughter knows. And then that was my epiphany then. And then as I started to grow, I was like, my sons would have known. Uh-huh. They would have felt it. Uh-huh. But where I was then, I was like, this world is built for them. They're going to be fine. I just need to, I can pretend. I knew I couldn't with a daughter.
Well, and what does that say about how you felt about yourself?
Oh,
that's what you feel about yourself.
It's what you feel about yourself, yes. And how devastating that was. And so I had the worst postpartum with her. I was suicidal, and it was excruciating. And then I'm half Samoan, and my two other boys came out brown when they were born. Mm-hmm. And the one really lightened up and the other one kept his brown, but she was see-through white.
Yeah.
Blue eyes. I didn't bond with her.
Wow.
Partly because of the horrific postpartum, and partly because she did not look like me. And the only thing I could focus on was that her hands were my hands. And so thankfully, the doctor at the time was my 6-week appointment. He said, how long have you had postpartum? And he didn't ask me if I had it, mm-hmm. which I think really saved my life. Mm-hmm. And I broke down, and he was like, awesome, we're going to get you help. And so I went to the first day of therapy, and I sat down on that couch, and I was like, hey, just tell me how to be the perfect wife and mother. Okay, I'll do that. And bless my incredible therapist's heart. She was like, sure, we can do that. You know?
You wanted the most concise, give me A, B, C, D, let's plug it in.
Because it's me. It's my fault and all those things. And so fast forward 4 years of just deep work, undoing my childhood. I grew up in Provo in the 90s as one of the only people of color there. I was an only child of a single mother. I was a parentified child in a household of adults. And that's a whole other piece of it. But I faced it. I unpacked it. I understood what was happening in my marriage. I started to understand what was happening within myself. And about 2.5 years in, I was at work and I thought I was having a heart attack. So I called my therapist. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm having a heart attack. She was like, why'd you call me? And I was like, it's a really good point, you know? And she's like, come in. And she doula'd me through my first real death and transition and transmutation. I laid on her floor for like 4.5 hours, certain I was going to physically die.
Yeah.
And it took four and a half hours, I think.
Yeah.
I went home, fell asleep. The next morning I woke up a different person. I didn't know. I didn't know I could survive that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that I had that strength in me. I didn't know that my body provides a way that my nervous system can recalibrate, that I can learn how to hold these things. And from that point on, it has been nonstop exponential growth to the point where I don't recognize that woman. I love her.
We honor her. We honor our past.
My goodness, all the versions of the woman that I have been, she got me here. Mm-hmm. And she was really, really brave. And the mistakes, the tests that I thought were tests, they weren't. Mm-hmm. Because even when I quote unquote failed, I took the lesson, Wes. That's not failing. That's learning.
Yeah.
There is no arrival. You don't arrive, you know, at this point where nothing else happens to you and you're happy all the time. That's not a thing, because I'm content within always.
Even in despair.
Even
in your despair.
Even in my despair. And I get to feel that despair. So it's clean, meaning there's no infection to it. I didn't try to push it away.
I've never heard it said like that. It was clean.
It was clean. We allow our pain to get infected. We allow our emotions to get, for lack of a better term, infected, instead of just like, I'm so sad right now, I can hardly breathe in and out.
Something is clicking in my mind because Abby's right here. I keep telling, Abby and I are having a lot of conversations about like how our life is going right now. And I keep saying the word sticky. Ah, these things are.
Yes.
I keep walking through sticky situations and I get myself out because I know how, mm-hmm. but there's a stickiness and what you're teaching me. What I'm hearing is you're saying infected. I say sticky, and there's a way that these emotions, these hard things can be mm-hmm. clean, and it's when they're honored and felt and seen and welcomed fully. And that alleviates the infection. That alleviates the stickiness.
They're meant to flow. That's their whole. And so happiness, for example, is an emotion. It's meant to flow in and flow out. So this too shall pass. We only hear that in really sad situations. It's true for the good stuff too.
Yeah.
And so the contentment, the peace is what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. But the other stuff, it comes and goes. And so, sticky. Sticky's great too. And look, the despair for me, it stuck around a little bit, but not like it used to. It did not derail me. Mm-hmm. And accepting that you're going to have to pause sometimes to be like, this is what's happening. It might not go away right away. You're releasing the resistance around it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's not sticky or stuck. You just need to sit still.
Yep.
And feel it.
Call off your day. You're going to have to call your boss sometimes. And say, I can't come to work today. I need to honor my feelings.
Yeah. And that's not that sometimes you can't do that. And it's as simple as saying out loud or in your mind to yourself, I see you. I see where you are. I'm not ignoring it. I'm not dismissing it. And I'm not trying to distract it away. But we do have to go to work today. Come with me.
Because that's what women do.
It's what we do.
It's what we do.
Yeah. So if you can pause and stop all the way, please do that. You deserve rest. It's not always a possibility.
God, I feel that.
But there's always a way.
So you really, you walk hand in hand. It's like
yes.
therapy, but you're not a therapist. That's but it, correct. It's deeper than therapy.
It is deeper than therapy.
So you get to know these people very intimately.
Yes. And, you know, my gift and another thing I think that you saw is that I see people as they are. I see their shadow. I see their light. But to me, it just all is. And so I think that that's why, and since I was little, people would walk up to me and just immediately tell me their entire life story, their saddest moments, their, and now I know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have certifications, I have a whole list of modalities, but that's what it really is. And we get down to the actual block mm-hmm. and we transmute it wow. your way, because there is not one way to heal. There's your way. And so it's like putting together this perfect little recipe of what is for you in this moment. And then as you move through those blocks, it's going to shift and allowing yourself to shift, and that you'll always have these tools, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not always going to need me. You're not supposed to.
Yep. Well, a part of the healing balm that I've found during this process in my own self is being seen
yes.
by others. Yes. Like that in itself is the medicine.
Absolutely.
Like I'm imagining being in your presence and being in some of the places I wish so badly. I mean, there was not a you when I was doing this. There wasn't.
Yeah.
If there was, I was not aware of it. I'm sure there were. They weren't in my life. But just to be seen in my wholeness and in my mess and in my gifting and in my greatness too, and for someone to hold it all and acknowledge it all and me not have to like prove how bad it is or how great I actually am, if it just rests as it is, then that in itself is medicine.
Yes.
And most people, I believe, walk this entire life and they never get that, because you have to play an avatar, because
exactly,
because that's what we're told.
Yep.
That's what feels safe. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the thing keeping us stuck and sick and in our loops
and riddled with anxiety.
Yeah.
And depression and all of those things. And so, yes, that's what it is.
Well, you talk a lot about, I mean, just on your Instagram, I stalked you.
Yeah, you did.
So you talk a lot about separation consciousness.
Yes.
And is it called, do you say universal consciousness?
Universal, yep.
Rally on this, because this is what it feels like maybe we're talking about, but I know that you have so much better verbiage. Does this hit on that chord? Like the separation consciousness, is this a part of that? The separation that we feel in ourselves being in the world, like it's not safe. So we separate our true self and we show up as a character for the world. And that is a part of separation consciousness that you were trying to shine a light.
Yep. Okay. And that's a protection.
Okay.
Right? Because we're putting on that mask of this is what will get me accepted. This is what will get me through. This is what will keep me safe. Right? And it's not all, nothing is all bad. You know what I'm saying? But it's the separation consciousness as opposed to universal consciousness that we're looking at right now is whatever you see out in the world is happening in the individual. So you look out into the world and we see all of the fractures, the divisiveness, the anger, the, you know, the survival. That's what's happening inside the individual. And so I started this in earnest in 2020, teaching anti-racism. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was what is needed. If you ask me the answer to environmentalism, racism, social justice, all of the, you know, humanity's biggest issues, what's the answer? It's emotional work. And why is that the answer? Because once you understand that you are worthy of mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual respect, you can't not see that in someone else.
Say that again. The answer to this is emotional work.
Yes. It's exactly what we're here to talk about today. Once you can process your own emotions, once you have that space between reaction and response, you have mastered the art of witnessing, which means I can look at another human being and say, I don't understand you, but I respect your humanity. Okay. And I don't need to understand you.
Yes.
Because there's enough room for all of us because I've made room in myself, because I'm not separate. I'm whole.
And that you call universal consciousness.
That's universal consciousness. And so that needs to be executed in the self. Executed isn't a great word, but it needs to be in the self. So like, for example, the more people that can walk around with a regulated nervous system, and like the thing I know in every cell of my body is that I am a divine being that is deserving of mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical respect. I know that. There's no other bigger truth. And so that's how I walk in the world, because you are me. Why would I treat you any different than I treat myself? Mm-hmm. Everyone's telling us exactly how they feel about themselves by the way they treat other people.
Yep.
We already know that. Mm-hmm. So right now we are all working to repair this separation consciousness within the self, but we keep trying to do it outside of ourselves first. And so I'm not saying don't show up to these causes. Of course you should. However, the only thing you can actually control is within yourself. So why are we working on something that we don't really have control over? Go to the root. Ask yourself all those important questions about what are your values? Why are your values? Do they still work for you?
Pardon the interruption. Today's episode is brought to you by me. My shop, wakeupwithwesley.com, is the spot you can get all my merch. So we have hoodies, t-shirts, oversized crew necks, stickers, keychains. All the designs feature the do no harm, take no shit, or my metamorphosis designs, you know, the goo face, the sticky icky goo face. We're all in right now. So head on over to wakeupwithwesley.com to support the show and just rock what I actually wear every single day. It's super soft. It's comfortable. It's symbolic apparel that reminds me and you to just keep going, keep doing it. Continue with your expansion while being all comfy and cozy at the same time. And secondly, a reminder to you all about my dear friend, my soul sister, Jessica Corriton. You can find her GoFundMe at www.gofundme.com/f/jess-miracle-frequency. All proceeds from that GoFundMe go straight to Jess and her family to help her healing, to support her body during this breast cancer journey that she's been on. I could not thank you guys more for not only listening here each week, but for the kind messages and donations that Jess has received. It means more to me, and I know to her, than we could ever say out loud. So thank you again. We love you. Now let's get back to the show. Mikhail, this is what I saw in you. You were embodied with what you talk about. I didn't even know what you were talking about before I met you too. And I knew you were embodied with it because it emotes. You can't fake this shit.
I don't. It's the biggest mind job that I've done on myself. I keep thinking I need to do more. I need to learn more. I need. And look, I'll always learn
more. Listen, you got it in the bag. I love it. I can tell you that.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to prove who I am or why what I offer is important, because it just is. That's it.
That's freaking that, because it's been an odd 3 years.
Goodness.
But you know what? It's been alive in this since the beginning of time. It's absolutely. Just a freaking microscope is being put on this issue. And it's so loud and so divisive and so hate filled that I can, it's continuing.
Yes.
And you are right. This is the first time I've like sat woman to woman and felt like, this is the way.
This is the way. And look, the way is your way. What kinds of healing do you need?
And it is.
And how do you know what that
is? The emotions.
Yes.
The personal emotions and thoughts and feelings that we have about everything. Yeah. And then once that's nice and tidy and clean, like you're saying, there's no infections,
you're
then
gonna
they
feel,
can swim through you.
And it just flows in. And our emotions are our greatest teacher. They're coming in to let you know exactly where your attention and compassion and love for yourself needs to go.
I have a question for you. And I don't know if you have the answer because I don't. Well, I don't have the answer to this.
Hit me.
I get a lot of women DMing me, emailing me saying, I want to be where you're at. And I'm like, girl, do you know where I'm at? Because it's...
You're like, are you sure?
Are you sure you want to even say that?
Yeah.
But they think that I don't suffer from anxiety, that I don't suffer from bouts of depression, that I don't have these insecure thoughts. And I do. And so I say that right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel anxiety, but it's not, it doesn't stick in me. Like moments of anxiety come through and I honor it and I let it go.
You don't identify with it.
I don't identify with it.
It's not who you are.
So what would you say about a person who is chronically, because this is the majority of the women, they are chronically suffering from anxiety. Like when you work with a person and they have chronically suffered from anxiety for years and years and years and years and years, what do you think is some common, is there like a common denominator of a person who is dealing with anxiety?
Yes. Well, there's a few things.
What is it?
Okay. First of all, if you are looking at someone, so these women who look at you and be like, oh, I'm so inspired by you, Wes. I'm one of them, right? Because I stalked you too, you know? That the only reason you're inspired by a person is because that's within you.
You see a piece of you, a possibility in you.
It's it's literally already in you. And so when you see that, you let that gets to be a light bulb. I'm like, oh, that's in me. Now look, there's a duality to this. Okay. And that is when you see something you don't like in someone, that's also in you. It's all just information. And so let the, and I think that's one of the gifts of my life to be like, oh, I'm seeing myself reflected back to me. All right, let's go. And then the anxiety. Okay. Not speaking clinically. If you're in anxiety, you're living in the future. If you're in depression, you're living in the past. I want to say that one more time. I'm not talking about the clinical diagnosis. I'm saying just the basic
spiritual energetics.
Yeah. You want to be now. So what's keeping you from being now? What's keeping you from being safe in your body? Those are the questions that we begin with, right? And so anxiety that's kind of gone off the rails, right? One that just continues and continues and continues like this, and it's a daily thing. It's a protection that is you, right? So there's a point in your life where this anxiety was triggered.
Like birthed.
Yes.
A start point.
Exactly. And so it's like the stimulus happened or the harm or the trauma, right? And this piece of you kind of broke off. And it's the age you were. It's where you were in life. And then it starts to grow and get infected, essentially. And then when it's never acknowledged and the light of consciousness isn't shined on it, it's not tended to and reintegrated, that's when it becomes this big ball of anxiety that runs your life because it's just a protection that's gone off the rails. It doesn't know that you aren't in danger all the time. The thing, the most important thing is this piece is you. So for anybody listening that has this anxiety, start a conversation with your anxiety. Hey, I know you're trying to protect me. I'm not going to annihilate you. I'm not going to get rid of you. Do you think we could work together though? Just kind of posing a just a question and start a conversation with it and watch it start to calm. This takes a little bit, but once it knows that you aren't going to annihilate it because it's now become its own consciousness, it will start to slowly calm because just like humans, anything that has become almost a living thing, like a vibration, which is an emotion or a protection, it must survive and it will do anything to survive. So as long as you start to say like, yeah, of course you're scared. Why wouldn't you? Look around. If you're paying attention.
There's a lot to be freaked out about.
There's a lot to be freaked out about. But that, and so it plays into learning how to trust yourself. And that's how you do it because these pieces, it's just pieces of you that don't trust you.
Oh my gosh. That makes a lot of sense to me. It's posting up a home. It's literally put up a little, it's building a shack inside your body and saying, I got to live here for this person because I'm important here. She needs me.
Exactly. And that's one of the first things that I do with clients is that we build a home inside your heart space. It gets to be whatever you want. It's
Mikkel, this is wild. That's how I started meditating. I just did it intuitively.
I love it.
I built an internal home in my head and in my body. Uh-huh. And I would go there every single day. It looks like a grassy field and I have a beautiful chair.
Exactly.
And I go there every day.
And that's and only you're allowed in there. But then all those pieces of you that broke off to protect you, once you meet them, once they go back down and you'll know it because you'll be able to sense like, oh, this was me in ninth grade or whatever. And you say, thank you. Thank you for going through that. Thank you for trying to protect me. You get to go home and rest now. Mm-hmm. You get to come with me while I live this life fully. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's going to be scary, but you're good. You get to rest in there. It's always safe in there.
And you do it until there is rest.
Until there's rest.
So you just continue. It's not like a one and done, like, oh, it didn't work. Okay, I'm not doing it again. Oh. It's like you show up tomorrow or you show up in the next hour and you give it a nice little safer home inside your body too.
Yes.
Like it's a forever going thing.
Yes. But the thing about practice, and it's just like working out, right? If you've been sitting on the couch your whole life and you get up and try to run a marathon, how's that going to go? Poorly. It's going to go poorly. And if you, by some miracle, actually finish the marathon, you're never going to do it again. Your body's going to be so broken. All these things. Just start where you are. It's okay to be right where you are. And just stand up off the couch and then sit back down. Mm-hmm. It's okay to start slow. It's about this. A good friend of mine, she gave me the most beautiful advice. She said, time is our friend. Because it doesn't feel like that. I was having a moment about time and she was like, it's the compounding of time that gives us all of our gifts. And if we'll trust that process, look what you get. And so to trust that for today, standing up off my couch is enough. Mm-hmm. Putting my hand on my heart and saying, I feel sad today. That's enough. And then you just do it the next day and the next day. And then when you forget, you're like, oh yeah, I'm human. And I show up the next day. But what I do with you is we speed up the process. It's still hard, but because of the way that I see you and because of the trust that is created, you're able to tell me things and I'm able to see things where we get to the source pretty quickly.
Well, and I'm sure that the accountability and the safety, because that's what I feel when I'm around you, is the special little alchemizing goo mixture that creates an environment for this process to speed up. It's the accountability and the safety that allows this thing to go a little quicker. And I mean, God, isn't that a blessing to get through this stuff quicker?
We deserve it. And I know that's a tricky word for people, but it's a word where I'm like, you actually deserve to be held and to whatever can expedite this, you deserve it. Mm-hmm. And that is true for everyone. We all deserve compassionate accountability. We all deserve a courageous space to heal. Mm-hmm. And that's what I create with you, is a courageous space. Because my clients, even last night, I'm looking at them going, how can you not see how courageous you are? And I do this often. I said, I want you to tell me about yourself and pretend it's somebody else.
Oh my gosh, I've never done that.
And they are like, oh, that person's incredible. I'm like, mm-hmm.
I've never done that.
You do it.
That's a big, so you have me, it would be like me explaining to you who I am as like a third party perspective.
Yeah, but you're you're pretending like you're going to tell me your life story, but tell me that you're talking about somebody else.
Like I'm talking about Jess, someone I love and honor fully. Oh my gosh, I've never done that.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I think it'd be actually hard for me.
It's a game changer. It is hard. It's excruciating. Why is that? Why is it so easy for us to believe the terrible things about ourselves? And yet it's so difficult for me to say to you, Wes, the things that I have overcome in my life are extraordinary. Mm. The way I've walked my life is courageous and I'm so proud of it. Why is that hard? It even makes me emotional.
I know. I feel that.
Why? Isn't that interesting? Because if I'm talking about your life.
Oh, it's true. It makes you emotional because it's true.
I'm like, there is no question Because it's not like you didn't make any mistakes. Of course I made mistakes. That's the whole point. If you aren't making mistakes, you aren't doing it right. Because then you're not learning sincerely.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the main things we do. And you start to learn to witness yourself, because it is the art of witnessing that has been lost for too long. Everyone deserves to be witnessed. It's got to start with you. You have to learn how to give it to yourself. We can only give and receive love to the level that we are able to give and receive love. And really, it's all about receiving. Can you receive love? And how deeply?
It's actually very hard to receive love. It's so easy to give love. It's so easy to love and support the people around me. And then to receive it is, it's my work.
But here's the kicker. The more you receive, the depths with which you will be able to give love will blow your mind. You think it's good now? Mm-hmm. You haven't seen anything. The way you will be able to support your people, your family, there aren't words once you learn how to receive it and be seen. And I want the most important thing, one of them, vulnerability is the buzzword. This is only with people who have earned it.
I feel that.
You only share these things with people who have earned your vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody. Not everybody will care for it. Mm-hmm. It's not a judgment on them. They just aren't ready for it. They can't handle their own.
Mikkel, you want to know what I've been like vibing with? This is just myself. Yes, like please. This is not thought out well, so this is going to be butchered. I'm going to butcher my own thoughts right here. Go. I have been really struggling with this idea of self-importance and a hierarchy, because these are things that I don't like. Hierarchy, I reject that. There is no hierarchy. Like, same. I'm a woman who is in groups of women in circles.
Yes.
Like, there are not hierarchies.
No.
And in this deep work I've been in the last 9 months, it's hard for me to admit my own self-importance. And this yearning, this innate thing in me to be in rooms with women who are on this same trajectory. And I this is where I'm going to butcher the words, because it's not steps, it's not levels, it's not above or below, but I'm calling it an upper room. Like, take like master's degree. Mm. Like, I am yearning to be in spaces with people who have done their own personal work to mm-hmm. that level, because what you're talking about, this vulnerability thing.
They know how to hold it.
The depth of what my story is.
Yes.
Is only for people in that room, mm-hmm. because I trust that they can hold it and not fix it and not freak out. And then I'm not feeling like ashamed of it, mm-hmm. because it's nothing to fix. I'm not broken. It just is my life story.
Right.
And I have had to grapple with that. It's a reckoning within myself. There is no hierarchy, but there is a call to be careful and strategic. And it's an honoring of self.
It's self-care.
It's self-care. And it's not wrong,
no.
But it's this vetting system that I actually believe in its rightness, in its holiness. It feels holy to me.
It's boundaries.
It's boundaries. It's another word for boundaries.
It is. And so, look, this is such an important conversation. The hierarchy thing. Because how it's and the whole high vibe, low vibe things.
I don't vibe
care
with
for
it. Yes,
I don't
vibe
like
with
it. 1 minute. 1 minute. One bit. Here's what it is. Everything in nature, this universe, everything is vibrating. Fact. Okay? So are we. And so the work I'm talking about, the thing that I help you do, is we find your vibration. And you vibrate at that vibration. So it's not about tuning into anyone or anything else. It's about tuning back into yourself. And then there is, when you heal, when you have met your emotions and yourself and your pain and your trauma, the vibration shifts to something more harmonious. Mm-hmm. It's not better than, it's just in harmony. And so when you do that, you are going to attract that same frequency. Okay. That just means people who can look at you, witness you, and hold your lived experiences as sacred. It has nothing to do with better than.
Yes. And nothing. That's the sticky part in me, because I can be my human self and see how it might appear
yes.
to others, or even my older self, that like, oh, who does she? She doesn't want to hang out with these people because they're not.
Who does she think she
it's
is?
It's not like that.
Yeah.
I understand it can appear that way.
Of course. And that's really none of your business.
It is none of my business.
Right? And that's just a good reminder for all of us. If somebody is putting that on you, that projection, that's none of your business. That's their business. Mm-hmm. Right? So it all comes back to, what can you actually control? So what can you actually control, Wes?
I can honor that my yearning, my desire is never wrong. And if I desire these types of connections,
yes.
it's right for me.
Yes. And we are not meant to let we're not for everybody. And everybody's not for us.
You guys, I thought I was not a girl's girl my whole life. I was same. Like, I'm a dude's girl. I like guys. And we this is what I realized. Same. I was never a girl's girl. I am a woman girl. And I held out for women to come yes. into my life.
I did not have close female friends till the last 4 years, 5 years.
I needed women. But so I carried that label.
Let's define the difference so that people aren't like, they're calling us little girls or whatever.
Yeah.
There is a birth that happens when you take full responsibility for how your life is. Because it is, once you're a grown up, it's on you.
Radical accountability.
But compassionate accountability. Mm-hmm. Right? You can say the truth without berating yourself. Still truth. So it'll change you. But once you are willing to do that, once you are willing to say, it's not about she made me feel that way. It's I chose to feel that way. And how do I take accountability for it? Right. Mm-hmm. And so are you going to get your feelings hurt? Absolutely. You're a human being. You want your heart open. You're going to care because you're human, but then you're going to release it because you know you can't control it. And mm-hmm. it's not about you. It's none of your business. Right. And so that is a birth into the full mother or woman, right? Because we've got the three stages of a woman's life, if we're just speaking about women: maiden, mother, and crone. Mm-hmm. We are looking for women who have fully, purposefully walked into mother.
Yep. And age.
Age has nothing to do with it.
Nothing. Because nothing. We're sitting here with Abby right here. I don't know. You're 21,
Abby's a mother.
22.
We know.
It has nothing to do with age.
Nothing. And if you look, there's so much beauty in the maiden. Why do you think our culture is obsessed with all women staying maidens?
They love maidens.
Maidens are they're so much fun.
My sticky, icky goo phase was tearing away from the maiden.
Yes.
Because was I valuable as not her anymore? I don't think so. Society doesn't tell me I am
anymore.
Well,
and really, I want to correct you and say, I hope you brought her with you.
Yeah, I love her.
We still get to
She's
tap into her.
Cute. Yeah, right? I like her.
And all of those, all of the parts of her that served you, the joy, the fun, the frivolity, mm-hmm. right? That like adornment magic, right? Wanting to be cute for cuteness sake,
being
right?
A cute,
like,
little lure. I see her as a bait.
Yes.
A little trickster. There's beauty
exactly.
in that.
Exactly. But what's happening on the inside is that you are integrating that piece. You took all the lessons from Maiden and you took all her pain and you alchemized it and you fully accepted walking into mother, which is not easy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about, because now gossip, I want nothing to do with it. Why? Because that's why would I do that? Everyone's lived experience is so sacred. And the mother says she's going through something. Mm-hmm. And I honor that. And I wish her well. And may she know who she is, and may she find her own power.
And may I know that that is not for me, and I walk away.
May I be grateful that I have moved past that.
Yeah. Yep.
And so the hierarchy thing is a hard thing to understand.
It really is.
But,
there's a grappling there. But that what you just said made such beautiful, perfect sense yeah. to me. It's an honoring of thyself and where you truly yes. are. It's a nod to the greatness.
It is.
And if we cannot look at our greatness, then we're going to have also trouble seeing our shit. You got to look at both.
Can you see it all? And let it be information. So that's what happens. Once you process your emotions, it's like everything's out on the table. Oh, here are all the things about me. I would like to have this outcome. So I'm going to allow the shadow to inform the light. And then I move. Mm-hmm. The light doesn't know it's light without the shadow. Mm-hmm. Quit trying to get rid of your shadow. This is a very important part. Because healing isn't about love and light. Love and light is nothing without shadow and grief. It's in harmonizing the both. And so that duality becomes ascended within the self. And so it looks like that yin-yang sign that we're all so familiar with. It's actually supposed to be spinning. It was always meant to be moving.
And it looks gray.
And it looks gray.
It's all of it.
It's all the things all at once in harmony. Mm-hmm. And look, we are here to come in and out of harmony. So when you fall out of it, it's not like, oh, I'm the worst. Oh, I'm whatever. You know, all the braiding that we do, it's, oh, I'm out of harmony. Okay. And sometimes you just have to move on with your day and address it later. And then it's like, okay, what do I need to do to get back home?
You know what I did just yesterday? Hmm. This is so crazy. It's just the weirdest thing. Like I woke up and I had this little bit of anxiety and I was like, where is this coming from? I did my little check-in. I do what I do. I know how to do this. And there was nothing coming up. And I just like kept cleaning, put my headphones on, and I was just aware. It wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't derailing me, but it was still there. And I had this little ping, this intuitive ping to say, I like had a weird text exchange with my mom. My mom and I are like, we never have weirdness.
Oh,
we
you're peas
we don't
and carrots.
Fight. There's been, I fought with her when I was 22, and that's it in my life.
Wow.
In my life.
That makes me really happy for you.
There is a cohesiveness, and I text her something. I think I was just like a little direct, like a little... My day was weird. This was weeks ago. Mm-hmm. When I say weeks ago, I think it was in December. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that was weird. Maybe that's it. And I texted her about it yesterday. I said, hey, mom, do you remember that text from 3 weeks ago? I think I was a little too direct. I don't feel good about that. Like, I'm sorry. That doesn't feel right for me. And she was like, Wes, it's fine. And I said, I know it's fine for you. I know you weren't upset.
This is about me.
I don't feel good about that.
Yeah.
And just speaking life into that, taking radical accountability and saying, that's a womanhood. That's mother. That was so far long ago. She did not give a shit.
Yep.
It was sticky in me. Yep. I needed to correct it. Not for anyone else, but myself. Yeah.
Sticking to your own values.
It's my own integrity. Yes. It's my own values. And then I kid you not, there was no more conversation. She was like, you're crazy. That was her response. What? You're crazy. Go get along with your day. And it was gone. The feeling that I had, that angst, that little like, I don't know what to do with myself. This is weird. It was a 4-second text. She thought I was nuts and I felt better.
So instead of saying, what's wrong with me? Ugh, why is this here? No, they're obviously I'm being punished. This is, you know, it's supposed to be happening to me. It's like, oh, okay. What are you trying to tell me?
Mm-hmm. There was something out of alignment within myself.
Yes.
And it came up weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the intelligence of our body.
Oh,
it showed up probably on a morning where I was available for it to show up.
Everything we need is within our body. We keep going outside of our bodies to find truth, to find power. Why do we do that? Mm-hmm. We're literally made up of the same stuff as the cosmos, as the earth. Our genetic history written into our DNA. Why do we look anywhere else? Mm-hmm. This is about noise reduction in the body.
Oh, noise reduction. I am going to steal
that. Oh, please do.
I will give you credit.
But that's what you can't hear yourself.
Yeah.
When the emotions don't flow through, they get stuck and there's noise. You can't tune into yourself. You can't sense your own life force. You can't sense your own vibration and you can't hear yourself. Mm-hmm. So this work is about noise reduction.
God. Okay. How do people find you? I want to start working with you.
Please do. Yes. So you can find me on the Instagrams.
On the Instagrams.
On the Instagrams. It's at Maykel Reese. And the spelling is, thanks parents, it's Meikelreece. Same on TikTok. Because the nice thing about having a unique name is my handle is always available.
It's the same.
And then MaykelReese.com.
You guys, and her name is Maykel.
It's Maykel.
And I love your name.
Thank
you. It's a beautiful name. Maykel Reese.
Yes.
So they can find you there. You offer, what do you offer? Let's
talk about what
this.
I offer. Yeah. So I am a soul and spiritual life healer. Okay. So what that means is I remove the blocks in your life that are keeping you from living your fullest, most joyful life, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, or financial. We get in there and remove those blocks. And you will experience confidence again. You will experience peace. You will experience joy. And I do that through sessions, right? And so they look
like one-on-one coaching.
Yeah, one-on-one. It's one-on-one. They're kind of structured like a traditional therapy session. I am not a therapist. And like the first session, for example, everything's kind of fire hosed. I want to find out real fast what it is. And so we sort it through, we go through it, and then we create a plan. And so you can work with me for 5 sessions, right? And, or you can do a 90-day, or you can do a 5-month full transformation.
Like intensive.
This is not for the faint of heart, or rather the faint nervous system, but that's okay. Cause I got you, but we're going to move at a pace that is quick. And then these other ones, they will change your life. Mm-hmm. They will. That's it.
I know. Because you eat, live, breathe, walk, talk it. It's emoting outside of you. So I believe you 100%. Yeah. I wouldn't have you on the show if I didn't believe in this.
I know. It's kind of I'm giggling. Like, the greatest. This really is the greatest feeling, because this is something that it has taken me most of my life to really own. This is what I do. This is my offering to the world. This is what I can guide you through. And to be very, very clear, this is about guiding you. This isn't about doing it for you. It's not me. It's you being open to this experience. It's you saying, I'm ready.
Well, a true healer, which is what you're uncomfy with, but it is who you are, is someone who teaches someone that they are their own healer.
Yes, you are.
That's what you do.
But you do need to learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. And the deep gratitude I have for my lived experience, which should be another podcast, is I'm so grateful for it. It's my education. It's the gift of my life that I took all my lessons and turned them into the ability to guide other people.
Well, I'm so grateful you walked through that door that one night. I'm so grateful to know you. Really, I mean it. I'm really excited to do life with you.
I'm excited to do. Can you believe?
Yeah, I'm
can you
really
believe that
stoked.
We have walked into each other's lives? Okay. I've known you forever.
I know.
I mean, I haven't, guys, but
I know
it's it done. We love each other and we trust each other. And
yeah, I honor that. That it's actually a big deal for me. So I mean it. When
I trust easily.
Scorpio,
but
moon.
We've made it for life now. You're stuck with me now.
Okay, I love you. You guys find Mikhail at Mikhail Reese on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And look into what she offers. I promise you it's worth it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love you. Have a good week. We appreciate
you. We're going to have a great week.
We are going to have a great week. And come back next time.
Done.
Bye.
Okay, bye.